Yeah, I've been looking at the RD and plus B of cotton and it's how aging of cotton bales affects the RD and plus B. And this study sort of is an offshoot of that. And I want to describe a little bit by way of introduction what RD and plus B are and why they're important. RD and plus B are HBI measurements, everybody knows, and they're used to determine, in part, to determine cotton grade. Mills typically use these values to place bales in their laydowns, and they want to find RD and plus B bales that are as similar as possible. Because of the common perception that RD and plus B differences might influence the color of the final dyed product. And this typically shows up in the form of bar A. And for those of you who don't know what bar A is, it's a difference in shading of the fabric. And it may take different sorts of forms. Typically, it looks like streaks in the fabric or little tiger stripes or even different sort of wide zones. It all depends on how the fabric is built. Mills sometimes they experience bar A from uncertain causes, though. I mean, if you look at these bales and lay down that the mills are having problems with, the maturity is typically the same, and the color, the initial colors are the same, and yet sometimes we get approached by these mills that are having problems with bar A, and they've asked us to sort of investigate this. And one possible cause that came to mind to me, since we're working on metals that are in the cotton, is to look at and see if these metals might affect the dyeability of the fabrics themselves. That is, even after the cotton is prepared for dyeing, goes through the scouring, the bleaching, there's still a substantial amount of calcium and magnesium in that cellulose. So the question is it going to affect the way these fabrics are dyed? So the purpose of this study is sort of twofold. We want to determine really whether the RD and plus B differences indeed do cause any differences in the dye shade of the final product. And in addition, we want to determine whether these residual metal contents are going to affect the color of the final dye product. The method I used was to take a single variety of cotton and divide that into a control lot, which was not heated, and into a second lot, which was heated. And most of what's shown here, I heated it at 50 degrees Celsius for 10 days in an oven. And these samples were sealed in a glass jar with a little bit of moisture in it, because that's typically what makes the plus B change pretty dramatically. Following that, the samples were taken at each stage of the processing or the preparation for dyeing. We took gray samples, scoured samples, and then following scouring, the samples, part of the samples were soaked either in an EDTA solution, which was buffered, or in a similar solution with no EDTA in it. And EDTA essentially is a complexing agent which will really remove these metals from the cotton itself. Following that, we dyed the product. And in this case, I've used a reactive dye. There are different types of dye classes used to dye cotton. Reactive dyes are one of the most common, and I chose a reactive blue. And following dyeing, the color analysis was done on a spectrometer for LAB coordinates. And I intended to do calcium and magnesium measurements by ICP, but we had sort of a catastrophic failure of our computer, so I wasn't able to get that. But I have some backup data to indicate what does happen due to the EDTA. Now this slide shows the L-star at different processing stages when I either heated the fabric at 50 degrees or the control. And you can see that for both the gray and the scoured fabric, the L-star is significantly higher for the non-heated fabric. Even though this looks like a small difference, so you can really see it with your eyes look at fabrics, the non-heated are fairly a lot darker. Now, after soaking in EDTA, though, this pattern changes. The EDTA soaked fabrics have a substantial increase in L-star, which essentially means they're whiter. And you can see this from the soaking solution itself is brown, whereas if you just soak it in water, nothing really changes. Following the soaking, all of these fabrics were bleached, and it appears that they're all now about the same. The bleaching removes all of these differences. However, following the dyeing process, the same pattern that we see for the after the soaking shows back up in the dyed fabric. That is, when we try to dye it with this reactive blue, we wind up with the EDTA treated samples being a lot higher in L star, which essentially means it's a lighter colored fabric. And again, this really shows up to your eyes when you look at the fabrics. So the effects on L star, the heated fabric shows a lower L star in both the gray and scoured form, but soaking in EDTA increases L star in both the control and the heated fabrics. Bleaching removes any apparent differences, and the dyed EDTA treated fabric shows an increased L star compared to no EDTA treatment, and no apparent difference is observed due to heating alone in the final dyed fabric. Now this is a similar slide of the A star coordinate, and we see similar trends again for the grayed and the scoured fabric. The heated samples show substantially higher values in the grayed and scoured. And again, in the soaking, we see this differentiation occurring due to the EDTA treatment. EDTA lowers these values of A star. When we go to the bleaching, it minimizes all of these values quite substantially, but we still see a significant difference here. We didn't see the difference in L star, but we do see it in both A star and B star, that the heated fabric, even after bleaching, is significantly higher in yellow. This is A star. We'll see the same trend in B star as well. And then finally, we go to the dyed fabric. Now, of course, we go negative in this coordinate, but again, this pattern shows up where no EDTA treatment results in a more efficient dye effect. And again, B star shows similar trends as A star. We see the same patterns occurring. And the reason I have this started here is just because we didn't see this in the L star coordinate, but we do in both A star and B star. So the effects on A star and B star. Both A star and B star show similar trends. Heating results in higher values in the gray and the scoured and the bleached fabric. Soaking in EDTA decreases the value in both the control and the heated fabric. And finally, the dyed EDTA treated fabric shows increased or a less negative value compared to no EDTA treatment. So, and that means that it's not taking up as much of the dye, this reactive dye, as when when we treat with EDTA, less dye is wound up being taken up by the fabric. Now this slide I just threw in, it's two different temperatures. When I heat it at 50 degrees C, the initial L star of the fabric was around 10, and following heating at 50 degrees C for 10 days, it went up to about 13. So I wanted to find out if a more dramatic treatment would change this pattern here. So I heated at 70 degrees for 3 days, and I got a difference. The initial fabric was about 10 B star. And the final B star was 16. So that's about the limit of what you can get with B star. And still you see the same pattern, that heating doesn't seem to make much difference in the final L star. And yet the EDTA treatment results in a greater L star value in this dyed fabric. Now results from previous studies, since I wasn't able to do the calcium and magnesium analysis here, previous studies have shown that if I treat this cotton, the scoured and bleached fabric, if that's treated with EDTA, It removes around 50% of the calcium magnesium from the scoured fabric. The present results suggest that removal of these metals from the scoured fabric results in less efficient dye uptake for reactive dyes. And I underline reactive dyes because different dye class, like direct dye, may behave differently. And that has yet to be determined. And the mechanism possibly involves an interaction between these free hydroxyl groups and cellulose with calcium and magnesium, resulting in a greater accessibility to the dye. So in conclusion, changes in RD and plus B due to aging of the fibers don't appear to affect dye uptake for reactive dyes. However, removal of the calcium magnesium from the scoured fabric results in a decrease in dye uptake, but the mechanism for this decreased dye uptake remains to be determined. That's all.
Thank you, Gary. Any questions?
Do you have a number for like a ppm of fiber weight basis of how much total calcium and magnesium is in the starting fabric and the scoured tissue fabric?
Yeah, I've been looking at the calcium levels and magnesium levels for different cottons, and they do vary from one variety to another somewhat, but a sort of an average number or a good basis number is around in the bleached fabric. So all that's remaining is cellulose. We've gotten rid of the waxes, the pectins, the salts. There's still about 300 parts per million of calcium remaining in that cellulose. And magnesium is about 200 parts per million or so. So there's a pretty substantial amount of metal there. And I'm thinking it's associated with the amorphous regions of the cellulose with those available hydroxyl groups. So, you know, if that's the case, then it's sort of, I guess, keeping those hydroxyl groups available for the reactive dye, because the reactive dye will react with those hydroxyl groups. So my thought is, I guess, if I'm removing these metals, perhaps the crystallinity of the cellulose is changing enough to prevent dye uptake.
Did you use sodium to increase the affinity, the dye affinity in the actual dye bath process?
Yes, yeah. Sodium sulfate, yeah. Yeah.
There's no interaction there between, I mean,
well, from my experience, sodium
level off the effect, or?
Sodium's is monovalent, I mean, it's a monocation, so it's not really, even though there's a load of it in that dye bath, it doesn't really compete too much with the calcium.
Years ago, I had heard that there was a difference between the dyeability of rain-grown versus irrigated cottons. Mm-hmm. Would that have any implication to what you're doing?
Well, possibly. I would suppose that irrigated cottons, I don't know, I'm not an agronomist, but maybe Phil could answer that better. I mean, if irrigation versus just waiting for the rain might affect the maturity of the cotton. And there's this question in my mind, is maturity related to the crystallinity of the cellulose that's in the cotton? Maybe all these things are wrapped up with each other, I don't know. So, you know, that'd be something to look into, though, whether irrigation helps the fiber mature a little more normally, consistently.
Okay, thank you.